It's showtime, folks, and it also feels good to say it's football time in Tennessee. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. He is Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. JoJo, college football has officially kicked off, and it's game week.
We made it. I know last weekend we had four games, and it was a great win by Georgia Tech over, over Florida State, but it truly is. I mean, so many games are happening this week. We got coaches on this week. We're talking college football. So it truly is the most wonderful time of the year. You can have the Christmas season. That's great. But this is the most wonderful time of the year. Can we have Christmas songs, Dr. Crane? Do you mind?
I can do that.
I'm kidding. Do not.
Yeah, don't do that.
I won't do that.
This is what we have on tap for today. Brett Kern's going to join us at 9:30. And talk about the Titans' final preseason game. Cut down day is tomorrow. Obviously, you know, tough decisions ahead for Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, and Coach Brian Callahan as they look to put this 53-man team together. So we'll talk about that. What a wild one in Daytona. A lot of you were tweeting me about the race. I did get to see the end of it. Glad Josh Berry is okay. Harrison Burton gets his very first win in the NASCAR Cup Series. Harrison will join us today at 10:30, so looking forward to talking to the driver, the number 21. So we're going to hit that. Plus, as you mentioned, college football has kicked off. This week, we'll start our weeklies with MTSU football coach Derek Mason. That'll be Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Brent Pry, the head coach of Virginia Tech, is going to join us tomorrow as they come to town to play Vanderbilt. Clark Lee will be on both Robbie and Rex Road and Willie and D-Mace this week.
Good.
So, you'll hear that. Plus, Coach Walt going to join us.
Yeah, I mean, we're loaded this week, so it's a lot of fun, and I'm excited for it. By the way, at 6 o'clock tonight on Totally Hits, Totally Nashville, 93.3, the Derek Mason premiere show, debut show. What do you call
debut that? Debut of the Derek Mason show.
There we go.
Hear that on 93.3 and also on 94.9 The Fan.
Oh, fantastic! So looking forward to that as Middle takes on Tennessee Tech this weekend, and a lot of big games. But man. Excited. Starts 11 o'clock on Saturday. Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech, 11:45. Tennessee versus Chattanooga, and roll on from there. So, man, we're here. We survived.
Do want to say it's a big day for us here at Cromwell as we have launched officially our third sports station, Sports Talk 8:30 a.m. It is up and running as a part of the Game Nashville Sports Network. This was a concept that I came up with and was like, hey, let's do a third station, and got the support of our GM, Sean Fort, and our owner, Bud Walters. And, we went for it. And so, it'll take some getting used to. If you were, a fan of the VEASAN network and Dan Patrick and all of that, that is now on 8:30 AM. ESPN's full lineup is on 94.9. And of course, great live and local sports talk with all of us here on 102.5, the game, the flagship of the Game Nashville Sports Network.
When do you sleep?
I don't know. I don't.
I was curious about that.
But it's all good. It's a labor of love. I like that we have our Blue Knighted, our Let's Go Preds. Vandy, you need to send us a sign to put up. We'll put that up in here. Your sports live here, so we need that. We need that going.
Yeah. Then we had Door Jam this weekend, and you had the MTSU Fan Day this weekend as well. So I went down to MTSU and took a sign and brought it back in here and to have it in the studio and. Let's go with it. All right, so we talked last night. I'm just going to get out there. Our question of the day, be done with it and get it out there. We love y'all's responses. 615-737-1025 on college football. What's the one college football team for one season that you fell in love with, that team that you just revere more than any other team? One season, all right? So the example, for me, the 1985 Tennessee Vols was a team that expected to do nothing. They beat Bama, beat Miami in the Sugar Bowl. They were fantastic. A bunch of no-name guys who just kicked butt. Charles Davis was part of that team. That's a team we're talking about. One college football team for one season that you love. It's not necessarily a championship team. It could be a team that went back in the day, went 3-8, but the three wins over some of your biggest rivals. I've heard from Vanderbilt fans who tell me the 2005 Vanderbilt football team is special because they beat Tennessee and Neyland with Jay Cutler. So we're looking for things like that today. The one college football team that you just love, you think about, just so revered to you. Doesn't have to be a championship team, but one team that you think about for 1 year, not a succession of years, just 1 year.
Can you help me with a year? Because I'm blank. I want to say it was 2011. Was that the year that Vandy won the Music City Bowl with Franklin and Jordan Rodgers. And
well, they won it in 2008.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about with Franklin.
2012.
Okay. Yep. Yep. But that was the 11 season, right?
Or... That was 11. They went to the Liberty Bowl and they lost to Butch Jones.
Okay. So the 12 season, that was a fun one. Now, the 08, the 08 was – that's a good one. The 08 was fun. That was, you know, Bobby Johnson and Dad and I went and froze our butts off at whatever it was called, then LP Field, I think.
Yeah, right.
And they won that on New Year's Eve. So that was a good one too. But I would say 2012.
Who'd they beat in 08?
Boston College.
Boston College, that's right.
And then 12 was NC State with, who's the dude?
Mike Glennon.
Mike Glennon, the tall guy, yeah. He was the quarterback. But yeah, Jordan Rodgers and Matthews and that whole crew.
Who'd they beat in 13, the Birmingham Bowl?
That's a good one. I don't remember.
That was the same day. Was it Houston?
Maybe.
That was the same day that Munchak got fired. I'll never forget.
On a Monday.
It all rolled through
together. It was like a weird day.
And everybody's like, James Franklin's going to get that Titans job. James was like, God, I hope he doesn't. Let's get him out of town.
Well, because wasn't like Munchak not seriously but kind of up for the Penn State job? Like they interviewed him because he
something
went
like that, yeah. Yeah, like,
I know he interviewed for it.
I forgot about that.
But everybody kind of speculated that it was Jimmy Frank.
Yeah.
Like James, he was gone.
He was gone. And then when he came back and had the Penn State moving van drive through Vanderbilt's campus, so petty to go to his house. Just so petty doing all that.
Did he really do that?
Yeah. another team that stands out, now Dr. Critty can weigh in whenever you want to, the 82 Vanderbilt football team with Whit Taylor and Norman Jordan, Alamo Matthews, they threw the ball. It was Watson Brown was offensive coordinator. That was a fun – that football team was about 20 years ahead of its time. They threw the ball constantly.
George McIntyre?
That was George McIntyre. They threw the ball constantly. They went to the All-American Bowl. They lost to Air Force, but – they beat Tennessee over at Dudley Field. That was a fun team, the 82 team. But for me, it's that 85 Vols team. And I'm not a big Tennessee football fan. I just love the game of football. But that team with Dell Jones and Tony Robinson, they beat Bo Jackson. They beat Auburn. Sports Illustrated had gone to Knoxville to do a story on Bo Jackson, the top player in the country. And Tennessee just beat him and beat Auburn down 38-20. Wasn't even that close. And then Tennessee rode to the Sugar Bowl. Tony Robinson would have won the Heisman Trophy in 85 without a shadow of a doubt, but he blew his knee out against Alabama, and then they just rallied, and that team ended up beating Miami and knocked Miami out of the national championship 35-7 in the Sugar Bowl. It was an amazing game, an amazing season.
All right, so here's what I think. I think the most popular answer in our area would be in the 98 Vols, probably.
I get it, yeah.
Yeah, that I think – several people outside of the Vols might say 2019 LSU. Was it first team with Tebow with Florida?
06.
06.
He split the reps with Chris Leak.
Yeah, so maybe the second one.
Well, I mean, I get all that. You get the champion. But maybe a team that's special that you didn't think would. Like the 07 Tennessee team.
Yeah, that was a good team.
You know, they were one pick six from Eric Ainge away from beating LSU and winning the SEC. Things like that. Things that just kind of stand out differently. I know 98
so a champion,
special.
You don't have to have a championship.
No.
Yeah.
I go the 82 Auburn team with Bo Jackson's freshman year, and they beat Alabama when Bo goes in with about 30 seconds left in the game to win that one. Things like that could stand out. But one team that you just fell in love with, so revered, it doesn't have to be a championship team at all.
Here's a good one. Brian says, 2007 Appalachian State. Watching them meet Michigan was pretty priceless.
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of people can say that just because of that one
game. Right?
And honestly, that put App State on the map.
It sure did.
I mean, and they've done it a couple times now.
I remember after that, I think it was Lloyd Carr. Was that his last year at Michigan? The look on his face what just happened to us was something I'll never forget.
Wait, was that Lloyd Carr or was that Rich Rod?
I think it was Lloyd Carr. I think it was his last year. Maybe we'll double-check on that. Who's our ombudsman today? We can find out. It's Chase McCabe's the ombudsman.
Yeah, hang on.
Adding to his duties here at Cromwell.
You are correct,
thank
sir.
You.
It was Lloyd Carr.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. So that's at
you know who the OC was?
Do not.
Mike DeBoer.
Oh, okay. Where's he now? Is he in Indiana still? Or he might have retired?
No, I think he's done.
Okay.
His last He was at Kansas as the OC in 21.
Okay.
That was it.
Him and Butch. Maybe we'll reunite with Butch one day.
You never know.
you never know.
But, yeah, how about the ending to – I mean, it was a great game, back and forth. I mean, Georgia Tech, Haynes King comes over. It's a transfer quarterback. Florida State's got this giant chip on their shoulder.
Yep.
And after, you know, going undefeated, being left out of the playoff because of the quarterback getting hurt, get shellacked by Georgia in the bowl game and make it back-to-back losses. DJ Uiagalelei.
I don't even try to pronounce it.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Thank you. With, you know, he transfers to Florida State. Are we going to figure out that he's just not that good
right.
at some point?
Yep. I mean, he's just – and also shout out to your boy Sheamus.
Yeah. He was the only one that picked Georgia Tech.
Uh-huh. He was fun. He was good on that show. Everybody else bored me to tears, including Herb Street. But Sheamus was fantastic picking Georgia Tech to win.
Yeah, I want to see when there's more games to talk about. You know, and I feel like Saban, he just has to get into it. But I don't know if that's the right show for him. I just don't know
that's
if he's going to fit that show.
Good point, yeah. I don't know as
like,
well.
Like, now, I said that. You know, with Belichick, and then Belichick goes on with McAfee, and Belichick starts showing his personality and that he's actually pretty funny. You know, so maybe Saban will do that. But, you know, it's hard. I know it's hard for these guys. You know, it's hard to let go. Like, I heard Jimbo Fisher on ESPN this morning, on ESPN Radio, on Sportsmanlike, and, you know, he was talking about that Bobby Bowden told him in 1987 that whenever his time was done coaching, he was going to get out of the way for the next guy. And because he was asked about Kalen DeBoer and following Nick, and basically he was implying that Nick needs to stay out of the way.
Was that 2007?
No, he knew. I mean, I guess.
I was with Jimbo in 87. We cheated off people in astronomy class together.
Well, at first he said 84, then he changed it to 87, so I don't know.
Well, it might have been because he was the coach in waiting in 07 with Florida State.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe Jimbo's losing his mind.
But he knew Bobby for a long time, right?
Well, yeah, because he knew Terry.
Yeah.
Terry's son, we all played for at Sanford.
Yeah.
And then
so I think it probably was 87.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, that was his last year of being a quarterback. I mean, we had a really
good
team.
Because he said in the interview, I was still playing.
Yeah, okay.
And you know, it was just talking to coach and – Yeah. And he said that when he got the job, you know, he was named the coach in waiting, and then when he officially took over, he said, Coach Bowden came up to me, he shook my hand, he said, I'm going to disappear, I'm going to be out of the way. If you need me, I will always answer when you call.
That's good.
And but he was like, this is your program now, and he did. Like, if you think about it, he really did stay out of the way.
Oh, yeah, he did. I mean, yeah.
You know, you got Bob Stoops that's, you know, always around
still
at Oklahoma.
Meddling.
Fulmer was always around and still meddling, and maybe not as much anymore. But, I mean, there's the ones, the legends, that just can't get out of the way. Now, I don't think Saban's that way.
Right.
But, you know, you brought it up. He's still got an office there.
Yeah, and I think because he's going to be gone for game day helps.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, stay away and all that. I wouldn't want him being around. I just wouldn't enjoy it all. I mean, just go, you did your time, and now hit the road and do all that stuff. But I don't know, it will save him be the right fit. I mean, we'll still watch. It's still a fun
show.
And you know?
I mean, look, it's one show. You got to give him time to kind of figure out how he's going to be. And the other thing too, like, I've noticed this, like, I think he picked Georgia to win it all.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, okay, if that's how you truly feel, then that's probably a really good pick. But don't not pick Alabama because you don't want to be, oh, he's just picking Alabama because, you know, that's
– Yeah, that's
and
a good point.
There's kind of getting over that stuff.
I think he knows that where the talent level is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think he made a bad pick. I'm just, you know.
Where's game day this week?
I will look that up during the break.
I
am not sure. We're up and running here on this Monday. We want you to weigh in, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Your favorite college football team, a year. Pick a specific year. So, you know, Robbie texted in to the 22 Vols. A lot of people might say that. That was a good year for Tennessee. What was one that you really like? We'll discuss that and much more next. Brett Kern at the bottom of the hour. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. College football game week. Little Alabama. Nice.
Cat Mad Joe.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. We'll have Brett Kern join us at 9:30, so we'll get into the Titans then. But our question of the day, Joe, is?
What one college football team did you fell in love with just for 1 year? We're not talking a bunch of years, but one team. They didn't have to win a championship. Just one team that you love, you talk about, you think about still to this day. I know a lot of you, 98 Vols, can win the national championship. I go the 85 Vols. I go 82 Vandy. Those teams were just special in different ways. Not necessarily winning championships per se, but they were fun. They, you know, not talked about a lot at the beginning of the season. And then Rally is really cool. So, yeah, this one college football team, 1 year that you absolutely love. That's our question. 615-737-1025.
1652 says the 2010 Cam Newton Auburn team was fun to watch.
I saw a thing about Cam Newton. It was a poll. He was voted the most electrifying player in SEC history. And I got to tell you, Chase McCabe, I agree.
He might be, yeah.
He was amazing in 2010.
Amazing. I mean, you think about guys that had one, maybe two, really just electrifying years. I mean, Cam Newton and Burrow are probably at the top.
Yeah.
You know, of at least in recent memory. You know, Tebow had two really good years. I mean, one, you know, he split, like you said, the first championship he split reps, and then the second one it was all him. So I'd put him up there. You know, Bo had a couple, Herschel had a couple.
Yeah, I think with Cam was the fact that
it's obviously a different era now.
You couldn't stop him. You could not stop him running, passing, whatever. He was amazing. Tebow was great in 08. Of course, he won the Heisman in 07. Bo and Herschel were fantastic. George Rogers, of course, he wasn't in the SEC, but South Carolina is now. But he was great back in 1980. But, I mean, you got to go with Cam on that. Really, that was a special, special player, man.
Our buddy Bill Wickett from the Nashville Predators says the 97 Michigan Wolverines, national champions, and Woodson wins the Heisman.
Bill, we don't talk about Woodson winning the Heisman around here.
You got to trust us. Know where you are.
Trust us on this, even though he probably should have won the Heisman. I mean, for a lot of people thinking that way, but we don't bring that up. But yeah, that was a special team because they beat, they won the national championship with Brian Griese at quarterback.
Yeah.
And his backup was?
Tom Brady. Can I just tell you, I was sitting in my grandparents' den, so I was 10 years old. And I was sitting, like, in front of the TV watching the Heisman and, of course, thinking, like everybody else, we're going to celebrate Peyton winning the Heisman. And when he didn't, I was just, like, because I loved Peyton at the time. Yeah. And I was just, like, what in the world? And I looked at my grandfather and I'm like, why didn't he win? And he's like, son, I don't know. I have no idea.
Your grandpa's like, stay in your lane, boy. it was Moss, Woodson, Manning, and there's one more that was up for it as well. And I forget who it was. Oh, Joe, come on. You know this. You know college football.
The finalists?
There were four. Oh, Ryan Leaf.
Ryan Leaf. Yeah. Yeah.
Duh. Yeah. Yeah. So I remember when cause it's in the ESPN book, but Chris Fowler, and he still hasn't lived this down, said when Manning didn't win, it sent Tennessee fans to a trailer park frenzy.
Yeah, I remember that.
He tried to backpedal on all that stuff, but it didn't happen. And then, you know, game day didn't come to Knoxville for a long time after that. And they finally went, and, you know, Tennessee
I didn't
fans
realize they did a 30 for 30 on it.
Did not disappoint on that 97 Heisman.
Yeah, I need to watch that. Yeah. All right, let's see. David in Arkansas. My one team that I can never forget is the 06 Razorbacks, where Mitch Mustaine took over quarterback Malzahn as OC. We could have been champions in championship talks had Houston not replaced Mustaine with Casey Dick against LSU. That was an exciting year for us Hogs fan until the LSU game.
Yeah, see, that's the kind of question, that's the kind of response I like. A team that a lot of us probably don't remember, but was special to you, even though they didn't win a championship.
Hey, that Arkansas team in 98 was pretty damn good. Yeah. You know, that Tennessee had to – was that overtime they had?
Was
to,
not.
Was, but it was close at the end, right?
Yeah, Sterner fumbled, and then Tennessee went down and scored, yeah.
Yeah. 1483, 1995 Northwestern football team, first winning season since 71, first conference championship since 1936, first 10-win season since 03, went to the Rose Bowl at the end of the season.
Yeah, Darnell Autry on that team. That was a good team, really good team. And then the next year they went to the Citrus Bowl or the Outback, one of those bowls in Tennessee, smacked them.
Corey in Clarksville, 03 or 04 Auburn team with Jason Campbell, Cadillac Williams, and Ronnie Brown. That was 04, right?
04, yeah. They were good.
They were undefeated.
Yep. That was kind of the impetus for getting, you know, we got to
figure out.
That was
the end of the BCS.
Yep.
We I mean, it took a few years, but that was pretty much the end of the BCS.
Right.
66-50. Do you ever think about, like, I'm sitting here watching, you know, everybody make their prediction on the 12-team playoff. And in my head, I'm going, this is probably how it should have been 50 years ago.
Ugh.
I know. But, like, and you think that way because they went to a 4-team playoff and it was so great because there was arguments and all this stuff. And now they've done 12. But in a realistic, looking at it from a realistic point of view, they should have done this a long time ago. Like, we should have never gone through the BCS era and this whole claiming championships era. It's like, why did it take this long?
Well, 1AA was able to do it for so long, and now, but, you know, you kind of get rid of the bowls. There's a lot that went in with that, a lot of money tied up and all that stuff. You know, the national championship played on, like, January 21st.
Yeah.
So it's a long season for these kids.
More football.
That's true. I'm with you,
man. I mean, yeah, I don't think they're complaining.
Okay.
66-51, the 03 Oklahoma team with Jason White coming back from two ACL tears to win the Heisman.
Former Titan quarterback, that's right. I love that, man.
Dylan, 2009 MTSU football, 10-3 with Dwight Dasher at quarterback. That was a good team.
That was. Was that the year they beat Maryland or Memphis? One of those two schools.
Maryland, I think.
My bad. Yeah.
I think that was Maryland. I walked a class that Monday, and I had a class over by the stadium. And so I parked in Smyrna, is usually where I park, and then I walked. And so I'm walking by the stadium. And I just see beer cans everywhere,
nice.
And there's a door. There's like a door from one of the dorms that said something about Maryland that I can't really say that was laying there. I mean, it was awesome.
I think Jimmy Frank was the coordinator on that team, too.
Was he?
Yep. He was at Maryland before he came to Vanderbilt.
That's right.
Because Ralph Friedgen was the head coach.
Yeah, that's right. I think you're right. Patrick says, I went to Syracuse, and the 1988 team is special. They tied Auburn in the Sugar Bowl that year and had Don McPherson at quarterback, who was amazing.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. He was Donovan McNabb before Donovan McNabb. That was a good football team, too. And that was a good Auburn team who won the SEC. Tracy Rocker was on that team in 88 for Auburn.
Yeah. Got a vote for 05 Texas.
Yeah.
With Vince.
Special, man.
Special team.
How in the hell did he not win the Heisman Trophy that year? I know Reggie Bush got it, but I'm telling you.
I don't know. He should have won the Heisman,
The Rose Bowl performance Vince Young put on is the greatest bowl performance ever.
Yep.
Ever.
But the bowl game doesn't matter for the Heisman.
Oh, I know.
But his season was – I mean, look, that was one of the tougher ones that, you know, it really could have gone. They could have gone Reggie. They could have gone Vince Young. There's probably an argument for Leinart, too. I mean, they could have gone a couple of different ways with it.
Well, I think because Leinart won the year before.
Yeah, that helped that.
We're not going to give it to him again, but I just – amazing. That's the NIL team, the USC team of 05. That was an NIL team.
We'll get back to our question coming up in just a little bit. But up next, we shift to the Titans. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, going to join us, get his thoughts on the final preseason game and cut down day. Plus, we'll talk more about that. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. On this Monday, Titans getting ready to put their 53 together. Let's say hello. It's former Titans punter Brett Kern, who joins us on the show. And Brett, we watched the third and final preseason game yesterday. I know I still got to get used to that. And then they're going to go to two here soon. But, watch that yesterday. The offense with Will Levis looked pretty good. Now, you know, you can make the argument they were going up against backups or whatever. But I thought the execution was good. It looked smooth. It looked clean. What did you make of the first team offense?
Man, I tell you what, I think if I'm a Titans fan, I'm pretty excited about what I saw yesterday. I understand there's no Cam Jordan, Granderson, Honey Badger, a lot of, I mean, you know, they're really in essence probably a little bit of their ones. Probably most of their twos ran on defense, but the time that Will Levis had to throw the ball was amazing. And you could tell whether it's running play action, run, screen, back to another play action to a wide open Boyd, a couple more runs, screen to Pollard. They marched down that field in the open possession like it was light work, right? As my son was saying, they were cooking. I'm trying to understand the lingo now these days, but they were cooking, right? And so, the next possession, they come out and, you know, Will has all day to throw to a wide open Calvin Ridley, right? They go down the field, don't want to have to go for it on fourth down right there, but they executed. And, Will's first incomplete pass of the game was the double coverage to Calvin in the back of the end zone, which is probably a safer throw. I'd rather him try to make that kind of throw, trying to make a play, than, you know, trying to throw to double coverage, somebody coming across the middle, and, your percentage chances for a pick are pretty high, right? So he gave it a shot, didn't get it, got a field goal. And so they came out, I was like, dang, these guys are looking pretty good. And I think that's what you wanted. And that's what you wanted, too, to see that offensive line. I know there's probably a lot of questions, but you could tell, with Bill, to see Dylan out there and Petit Frere, and they were looking solid. And you could tell on these screens, he's getting these, Skoronski and Dylan, probably two of your quicker guards that you have, and athletic guards, getting them out in these screens and leaving Latham kind of back to protect. And it looked really, really good. And I think, as a fan, it was pretty exciting to watch.
So speaking on the offensive line, I mean, I agree with everything you just said, and watching them, am I going to sit here and say this is the best offensive line I've ever seen? No, but it's what I feel comfortable with going into the season, and I feel like if they stay healthy, the more they play together, working with Bill Callahan, this can turn into a pretty good offensive line and keep Will Levis upright. You agree?
I think so. I mean, I think obviously by what Brian said after the game, it was obviously intentional for those guys to get that first half because they're young. You got a first rounder this year, last year's first rounder, a second rounder, a third rounder. Really, it's a young crew. And then you got Cush in the middle to kind of anchor it all, which is what you want, on your offensive line. You go back to Ben Jones, anchoring the offensive line for such a long time. And you want that leader, in the middle, making your calls and being the communicator, right? So I think it just takes time, for those guys to gel and mesh. And I think that's why they got the first half yesterday. But, you could see that as they play more together and you could tell the coaching that they're getting, I think, Bill's coaching them individually based on their skill set. And it's not necessarily like, hey, this is the offensive line, we're going to coach you all this way. And it's kind of the same going the whole way across. Like, I think he's just coaching them individually to their skill sets. And you could tell, I mean, to take a kind of a deep breath yesterday, and I get it, it's against the twos, but that's what they're supposed to do. And I think in years past, the offensive line would maybe even struggle against the twos, right? And you're thinking, golly, we're going against the twos and we're still struggling here, right? But to see the time that Will had to throw was great to see. And then also to see Brian mixing up play calls. Like, you're keeping that D-line. Like, the D-line is straightforward. Let's go. Let's get the quarterback and stop the run. While it's done, you start making them go east to west and you're having to make them run, that takes a lot on them. And then you're making the backers second guess. Okay, is this going to be screen, run? Okay, we're going to bite on this play action here. And so the play calling, too, was phenomenal. And I think yesterday that first half was really fun to watch.
We're talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern on the Chase and Big Joe show today. All right, Brett, now cut down day is approaching. Was there a moment in your career, did you try to stay out of the locker room on that day? I mean, I know your job was safe, but you got guys that you loved, you became friends with, and they're gone. It's not easy, I would think, for the guy getting cut, obviously, but, for a team at a guy like you who, one second the guy's there, the next second he's gone. It's got to be kind of an odd, kind of surreal thing.
Yeah, it's Grim Reaper day. So, the Grim Reaper comes around and he finds you, right? And so years past, there's been different ways to do it. Years past, we've been all in a workout and it's the longest workout, but everybody has to be at that workout until the Grim Reaper comes and just picks people one by one. You know, there's everybody comes in for meetings and guys are kind of throughout the building. There's been some where they don't come in at all and they have to call their phone 8 times to try to get them to come in. So I think I've seen it done all different ways, but regardless, you know, I knew, you know, most of the time my job was safe. Obviously with Stoney, that was a little different just because I knew the situation and, you know, had talks with people prior to even cut day of what was going to happen. So I was able to kind of prepare myself. You know, leaving that building after being there for 13 years was hard. But I also know, too, like I tried to invest in a lot of the younger guys. A lot of the younger guys would come talk to me, you know, just ask me questions of routine and rhythm and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so as hard as it was to see them, you know, kind of get plucked by the Reaper, like I just wanted to be there for them just to encourage them, you know, tell them, hey, look, there's always the practice squad, you know, what they, you know, what they told you, what you put on film, you know, other teams are all watching and they're all seeing. And so just trying to encourage them because obviously getting cut, getting handed the trash bag is really the last thing you want to do. And for most of these guys, they feel like their dream is over. But I just felt like if I could be there in the locker room with them, encourage them, tell them to keep their head up. You know, most of the time I'd see them 2 days later after they cleared waivers and they were on the practice squad. But you know, it's just, it's a tough day. A lot of guys put a lot of work into it, and especially when you go 3-0 in a preseason and, it's in the fourth quarter and you play, really, really good football and Stonehouse pinning the team on the 8, defense doing its job, Eric returning the ball back a couple plays later, boom, touchdown. To Bryce Oliver, like that's in your fourth quarter to win a game with your backups, and that's what they're doing. Like, there's going to be some really tough decisions to make. Thankfully, I think they'll get a lot of these guys that they love back on the practice squad. Then you also got to see what else is out there, right? There's a lot of good football players, talented football players that are going to get cut over the next 24 hours, and there's a chance being seventh in the waiver order that's. You know, that's a pretty good place to be if you want to go out and get somebody. So we'll see what happens.
How did you find out? Did you get a text message? Did Vrabel say beat it? I mean, how did it all go down for you?
No, I mean, I could kind of tell, like, it's different. A lot of the young guys are just kind of naive to how the business works and playing time and all that kind of stuff. And they don't know any better. And that's totally understandable. And so they kind of, you know, get caught off guard, right? But for me, I could tell, you know, about halfway through the preseason, you know, they're starting to give Stonehouse all the holding reps in practice. And just some things were, you know, kind of happening playing time-wise. And then when they told me, hey, Stoney's going to get the last game full, I was like, oh, this is, yeah. Well, you know, I had the conversation with my wife and, hey, do I just retire now? And I told her, I was like, I put in so much work to prepare for the season, diet, working out, all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, at 37 years old, your body's not what it was when you were 22 coming out of college, right? So I just had to put in a lot more work to try to play. And, you know, at the preseason game, I totally forgot who we were playing, but I just went over to them and just like, hey, look, like if I know cuts are on Tuesday, but, you know, if you guys know you're going to cut me, can you do it tomorrow, Monday, just so I can come in, say goodbye to people? Because once you're out, you're not coming back in that building, right? So your passcode to get in gets deleted right away. So I just want to be able to go in, say bye to a lot of people that I love over in that building, and instead of just kind of the chaos that it is on Tuesday cut day.
Brett Kern is with us here on the program. And, yeah, I mean, like, I kind of look at I feel like Nick Folk is going to be the kicker, but, Narveson had a really good camp and looked good in these preseason games. So, I mean, it did kind of remind me of a few years ago with your situation of, you know, do they maybe look towards the future? But I'd be curious if they try and get Narveson back to the practice squad.
Absolutely. I think, you know, before COVID and practice squad eligibility, that's probably a no. But now with 16 guys, you can stash, you know, a kicker, maybe a punter, even a long snapper of one of those 16 and just work with them. I think the difference between me and Stoney is I had no guaranteed money and Nick Folk got, you know, I think almost $4 million guaranteed, as he deserves, because he had an unbelievable year last year. So I think Braden did everything that he could. You know, and I'm sure Morgan or Cole or, you know, are saying, hey, look, like you put some really good tape on film. And that's what you're supposed to do, especially when you're coming in and competing against a vet. You know, you have to show that you can outkick Nick Folk, which is pretty tough to do, especially the season that he had and his veteran leadership that he has. But he did everything that he could. If a team, I mean, you saw Cade York from the Browns just get traded for a seventh round pick to Washington. You know, if a team needs a kicker and they want to invest a seventh rounder in Braden, I could definitely see that happening. But you know, if they cut him and then he clears waivers, I don't see why he's not back on that practice squad.
Yeah. Could be, will be interesting to watch for sure. Brett, appreciate it as always. I know you're at a golf tournament, so hit them straight and, we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. 2002 Penn State Nittany Lions. Larry Johnson rushed for 2,000 yards. I was able to go to the game against Michigan State that he rushed over 2,000. And unfortunately, Carson Palmer won the Heisman that year. But that was, I think they only went 9-4, but that was my team.
Love it. That's a perfect answer. Thank you.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Thanks, Brett. Brett Kern joining us here on the program as he does every Monday.
God, he does listen.
Yeah. Oh, of course he does. He's loyal for sure. We'll react to the Titans and cuts that are going to be happening and what we think. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
I know you really wanted to get Farley out there.
Yes, I did.
He didn't disappoint.
No, he did a nice job. It was good. Just for all the things that he's been through, the ups and downs of his career, his personal life, just really cool to see him have a chance to go play. You know, he hasn't been able to play much, and so that was cool to see him play. I think that, you know, there's a little bit of joy in that, too, for him just to be able to go not think about anything and just go play football. And I thought he played pretty well from just what I saw with my eyes on the sideline. So it was good for him. I was happy for him.
Brian Callahan talking about Caleb Farley yesterday. Titans get the win in New Orleans. Perfect 3-for-3 in the preseason. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. But now they have the impossible task of making the cuts, going from 90 to 53. There's only one cut-down period, and that's what they have to do. Some are obvious. Some are harder than others. And, you know, as I look through this roster – And I haven't, like, you know, I'm kind of writing some, you know, my 53, but I haven't, like, gone through and made a true 53 yet. But, you know, I look at some position groups and go, this is tough. Or, hey, this is easy, but it's going to take away from another position group.
Can I tell you this?
Sure.
And I love you. And I love Dr. Crane. What's the Stephen Smith draw?
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
I mean, no offense.
If I do a 53?
I don't care about your list. I don't care about other. I'm not going to look at that and like, oh, you were right about that. Because I think overall we don't care.
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Let me tell you,
we don't care.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I just, there's guys that we're never going to hear from again. Because I think the thing is, I've been through this now for 20 plus years about that. And nobody's come to me and said, you know, Joe, you were right about Roydell Williams. You were right about getting that. It just get the guys on there, the starting 11. That's what I'm concerned about.
Sure.
Well, both sides, and that's it.
With all that said, I'm going to ask you kind of your opinion.
That's fine, man.
On some of these guys.
All right, go.
Question number one, is Malik Willis on this football team?
No. I don't think he is.
You think they're going two quarterbacks?
Two quarterbacks. And look, you know, he did fine against the third team Saints. That's great. He ain't doing it against a first team team. We've seen that. We've seen that, and we've been to the Broadway play, right? We want our money back.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Here's why I agree with you, because as I go through and I do this, you know, I think they're carrying four tight ends. I think they're carrying at least six wide receivers, maybe seven. You know, they might want to carry an extra offensive lineman because of this corner. I mean, we talk about all the money they spent in the secondary and the cornerbacks this year. I mean, we know Awuzie is obviously going to make it. We know that L'Jarius Sneed obviously is going to make it. So those are your top two corners. Caleb Farley, there's three. I think that Jarvis Brownlee is very much on this roster.
I mean, again – I don't know.
Pick. I mean, I think I don't know if Trey Avery makes it. I think Gabe Judy Lally out of Tennessee has made a case
to potentially
make it. I mean, Roger McCreary obviously has made it, and he's going to be on the roster. I mean, Eric Gehrer's had a decent camp.
You're just going down the list. I don't know.
My point is, you're going to have to sacrifice. I mean, it is a rob Peter to pay Paul. You're going to
four tight ends.
I think so. Yeah,
I think it's three at the max.
Okay. Let's talk about that. They're not cutting Chig. Yeah, I know he hadn't been. You know, he is what he is. They're not cutting Wiley, even though he's kind of is what he is.
Why wouldn't they cut Chig?
Because I just think they're too thin at that position.
He's regressed every single year he's been in the league.
Unless they feel like they can find something better on the waiver wire.
Don't they have a dude with three names?
Well, I'm getting to him. David Martin Robinson is 100% making this team.
Absolutely.
If he doesn't, I think it's malpractice. I do. I mean, I do. If he doesn't make this team, I have no problem getting on here saying that Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan, and Chad Brinker made a very, very, very bad mistake.
Okay.
I have no problem saying that.
So, I know they won't cut
Chip. And then Nick Vinette is kind of the blocking tight end, so he's going to make.
Okay. Then is Nick Vinette better than Chig?
They're different kind of players.
All right. Is the three-name guy better than Chig?
Right now, yeah.
Okay. Why not cut Chig? Look, man.
Because I don't think they're going to.
You're trying to win games.
They're going to carry four tight ends. I think they're three tight ends. Okay. We'll see.
Okay.
I think six receivers. I think Jaquan Jackson's the last one, and then Hopkins, Ridley, Burke, NWI, Boyd.
I do because they're going to be throwing the ball so much.
How is Mason Kinsey?
He's a nice guy.
I mean, he got hurt, right?
Yeah, I think it was a pinky. But yeah. I have a theory about that.
See, I could see Kinsey being the seventh.
I think they're going to use him as an IR spot to make the team.
That's with the return?
Correct.
Yeah, they could do that.
Okay. All right.
They could do that. They have IR on the PUP list to play with.
Yeah. I mean, two of those receivers. I mean, Burke's going to have to play special teams. Some of these guys have to play special teams.
Running back, I think it's three. I think Chestnut's the third. I know, you know, Haskins can play special teams, but I just
– the fumble didn't help the –
No, I think it's yesterday. Chestnut. I think it's Spears, Pollard, Chestnut, and that's it.
Spears!
Okay. Yeah, so the O-line, I'm going to be honest. That's where I think that seventh pick in the waiver wire is going to help them because
– You don't think the right tackle's on the team?
I think the right tackle's on the team. I think it's Petit Frere. I think, look, the starting five offensive line to me is serviceable. Now, can they improve upon that? Probably.
Brunskill at guard?
No, Radin's at guard.
Radin's at guard, okay.
Brunskill's your swing guy that's, you know, your backup.
What about Leroy Watson?
Probably a backup.
Okay.
But I don't love the depth at offensive line. Like Corey Levin, I like Corey Levin. He's a good depth piece.
He's been cut back and forth. God bless you, young man. Back and forth 1,000 times. But here's the problem. The offensive line depth is a problem for every team across the National Football League.
Yeah.
So the Titans aren't exclusive in that.
Yeah. So how many linemen could you see him carry in? Nine?
No. I think they eight? Eight max.
Okay. And then D-line, I mean, that's another place where you're thin. I mean, obviously, Sweat looked good yesterday, by the way.
He did. Pushing things back. That Saints offensive line, that second team, he was mauling. Terrible. I mean, there you go. That's a prime example. Terrible.
Yeah. Can I also just make one little
Absolutely, pal. Thing? It's half your show.
Jim Wyatt posted a video of Jeffrey Simmons walking out of the room, and he was, you know, in uniform and everything. And he turned to do like the handshake that he always did with Derrick Henry. And he was like, man, I got to get used to not having my guy here. And, you know, so then Jim tweeted it. And, you know, first time he's walked out without Derrick Henry because they always walked out together. And then Derrick, like, quote tweeted it and said, you know, my boy, go get it. You know, all that stuff. Derrick's gone. He's gone. Like, it's.
Cue that Stephen A. Smith.
It's time to move on. We love Derrick Henry. But it's time. He's a Raven now.
When I saw that tweet from
I'm
Simmons,
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Let me tell you,
we don't care.
Like Kern said, man, it's a business.
Jeffrey Simmons walked out and said this. Never mind.
My cue is not there today. Sorry, gentlemen.
He walked out and said,
"Oh man, my cue is not working today."
Sorry, the effort is there.
Someone has saved over my "Oh man." So,
oh okay. So I need to be mad at somebody else?
No, not at all. Not at all. Please do not.
No, I am. I want the "Oh man" there. But yeah, I mean that's what it. I just it's a little thing, but it's just gotta let him go.
Yeah, that's I get it. Yeah, I mean it's
coming up next. By the way, Harrison Burton won at Daytona. He's going to join us at 10:30. But coming up next, Predators made a trade over the weekend and it made some news.
Did it?
For sure. We'll discuss that and much more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.